Thomas Jefferson statue, which was a presence for more than a century in the New York City Council Chamber, that's coming down following a public commission reassessment of the legacy of the Founding Father, who, of course, as history shows, was a slaveholder. Get to that in a moment. New York City Public Design Commission voted unanimously this past Monday to dismantle the statue. It's a 7-foot bronze likeness of Jefferson, which has been in the chamber now since 1915. During the meeting, commission was put aside, making a decision on a proposal to lend the 187-year-old statue to the New York City Historical Society. So that still leaves open the question where it's eventually going to wind up. It's a plaster model of a statue still on display, by the way, in the U.S. Capitol Rotunda. I think a lot of this, some facts of history are needed. Yes, Jefferson was a slave owner who, unlike George Washington, did not free his slaves upon his death. And that's a fact. However, it's important to understand that it was not of his own volition. At the time, it was illegal to free slaves. Even though Jefferson tried many times to change the law, but wasn't successful in making that happen. Jefferson inherited all his slaves, 187 to be exact, when he was 14 years old. But slave ownership, he was not in favor of, did not agree with, wanted to end it. He stated many times, representing slaves in defense of their freedom, over and over and over again. But because Virginia was rigid in its pro-slavery laws, during his career as a lawyer, Jefferson lost many cases to secure the freedom of individual slaves. One of the many times Jefferson spoke out against slavery, he said, "The whole commerce between master and slave is a perpetual exercise of the most boisterous passions, the most unremitting despotism on the one part and degrading submissions on the other. Our children see this and learn to imitate it. And with what execration should this statesman be loaded who, permitting one half the citizens thus to trample on the rights of the other, transforms those into despots and these into enemies, destroys the morals of the one part and the love of one's country of the other. And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are of the gift of God?" As I said, Virginia law made emancipation pretty much impossible. 1692, Virginia instituted huge economic hurdles for those wanting to emancipate their slaves, most significant being that the emancipator had to pay for the transportation of the slaves out of the country. Subsequent years, further stipulations were added. The owner had to guarantee a full security bond for the education, livelihood, support of their freed slaves. All this seemingly pro-emancipation clause appeared to benefit the newly freed slaves. Restrictive nature law prevented most owners from releasing their slaves. Moving ahead to 1723, state forbade the emancipation of slaves altogether, even by last will and testament. 1782, Virginia actually began to allow emancipation upon the death of the owner. That's why George Washington freed his slaves in his last will on his death in 1799. But then that law was repealed in 1806. That allowed for emancipation, but with large economic commitments again in order to do so. In addition to that, required that the newly freed people depart the state or else be forced to, right, re-enter slavery. So that meant freed slaves would have to leave behind their spouses, their kids, who in many cases were not as lucky as them in being set free. So, due to devaluation of money during the post-Revolutionary War period, Jefferson didn't have the money to provide all the stipulations that the Virginia law for emancipation of slaves mandated. He had given large sums of money to the loan office during the Revolution, received only about 2.5% of that money back. So, as you might have studied in history, you know, Jefferson did not die a wealthy man. History also records that part of Jefferson's fight against slavery included the Declaration of Independence, at least an attempt. Here's what was part of the original draft, of course written by Jefferson. "He has waged cruel war against human nature itself, violating its most sacred rights of life and liberty in the persons of a distant people who never offended him," this of course referring to King George, "captivating and carrying them into slavery in another hemisphere, or to incur a miserable death in their transportation thither. This piratical warfare, the opprobrium of infidel powers, is the warfare of the Christian King of Great Britain, determined to keep open a market where men should be bought and sold, and as prostituted as negative for suppressing every legislative attempt to prohibit or restrain this execrable commerce, and that this assemblage of horrors might want no fact of distinguished dye, he is now exciting those very people to rise in arms among us and to purchase that liberty of which he has deprived them by murdering the people on whom he has obtruded them, thus paying off former crimes committed against the liberties of one people with crimes which he urges them to commit against the lives of another. Sadly, that was the passage, along with many others, that was removed from the original document so as to keep the southern states on board with the idea of independence. But still, there are those today who can't operate a scale to balance someone's life on the stint. They demand the purity that, of course, has to align with their, quite often, uneducated views. But, you know what, if they want consistency, well, there are a few other names who need to be canceled. Well, for example, Democratic Senator Robert Byrd, who still to this day is revered by political historians, Democratic Party, and whose name is on countless buildings and roads all throughout West Virginia, yet Byrd at one point in his life was a high-ranking member of the KKK. We have to look at Planned Parenthood, whose founder Margaret Sanger was a devout racist, who set as a goal, right up front about it, of her organization, the encouragement of black women to get abortions to, in Sanger's frame of mind, such as it was, preserve the purity of American society. And you know what? We can't forget about John F. Kennedy, whose morals when it came to women were maybe even lower and more misogynistic than Donald Trump's. Where's the Me Too movement been about JFK all these years? Just placing it out there.